You're listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals. I'm Miles, and here with Rob in the studio today. Together we have, about 100 years of experience, Rob. I think you've got about 98, and I've got a couple years. We've been doing this a while, advising on and brokering the precious metals for quite a while. So each week, generally the three of us, but today it's just the two of us, do our best to provide a technical analysis of the metals charts and cover the underlying fundamentals and news that helps move and predict the markets. So what do you say about those tea leaves this week, Rob?
Interesting time, Miles. I just started my 40th year here working for the McIlvenny Group, and I've never seen a market like this.
It's unique. I will give you that. And I think we've got a lot to get into this week. But since we missed last week, let's not miss again this week and get those weekly charts in and take a little gander quick at what the markets have done since Thanksgiving here in the United States. So wow. I'm going to kick us off with gold. Gold is up about 1.5% since Thanksgiving last week, currently sitting a little over $4,200. We're at $4,210 at the moment. Silver, add a zero to that, Rob. Gold's up 1.5%. Silver's up 10.5%.
Yeah.
So, heck of a pop on silver. We're definitely going to be looking at that here in a minute. So silver is currently sitting at $58.50. But man, what a week for silver here. Platinum doing pretty well, up 3% over the past week, sitting in the mid-1600s, currently at $1,665. And palladium, sister metal to platinum, up about 4% to $1,490. So still lagging a little behind platinum, but not doing so bad itself. The S&P, on the other hand, while the previous week we had a nice bump up leading into Thanksgiving, since Thanksgiving it's been pretty quiet, basically flat. But still looking pretty good in the stock market, 6,840 points for the S&P. And finally, with everything up or sideways, you can assume it. It's probably true. The U.S. dollar is down about 0.5% over the last week, but not looking too bad. Just below 100, it's currently at 98.8 on the U.S. dollar index. So, Rob, where do we want to start out this week?
Well, I think we're seeing a lot of volatility. You saw Bitcoin and Ethereum all over the map last week. And it looks like a lot of the crypto market is moving over into the gold and silver market. What are you seeing?
Yeah, we've definitely seen a big drop off in Bitcoin. I mean, Bitcoin's been stepping down really since about October. We had as much as a 36% decline in Bitcoin, breaking below what I would call kind of the rising floor in Bitcoin. Starting back where we had the breakout move up back in October of last year, 2024. Then we hit a pretty significant bottom in April of 2025, and now we've just hit another pretty significant bottom November 20th.
Got to around 87, 86,000. It's up a little.
Yeah, Thursday. It was 2 weeks ago Thursday and hit about actually as low as 81,000.
Oh, wow.
So the thing with Bitcoin, though, is even though we're getting these big moves down, each floor thus far has been higher than the previous one. So that decline we saw back in April on April 7th and 8th, that was about 74,000 off of a high of 110. Then we went up to around 126. Now we're down at around 80. So the highs are higher, the lows are higher, and that could just be the volatility of the crypto market. I mean, the crypto market is primarily a speculative market. Don't let anybody tell you differently. And it's a speculative market that has been climbing really since inception. So it's going to have massive swings up and down, but that's why people play with it. They play with it to try to catch the right side of that swing.
They do. I have clients that play it, but they keep buying more gold because gold is the standard. It's the world standard now.
Sure. I've talked to plenty of younger clients who made a little bit of money in the crypto markets in their 20s and 30s. And now 5, 6, 7 years later, they're kind of stepping back their crypto positions. And what are they doing? They're doing the same thing anybody does who makes some assets investing, is you decide to take some chips off the table and put them in something that is just going to maintain its purchasing power over time, henceforth gold.
Yeah.
So yeah, people do that in almost every asset, stock portfolios, real estate portfolios, crypto portfolios. You know, gold isn't the answer to all questions. It's the glue that kind of holds everything together, the foundation that your other more aggressive investments are built on.
I agree. And we're seeing it. Our trades are starting to swing back to more purchases than liquidations. I'm about 50-50 so far this year. What's your deck look like?
We were talking about that earlier. It's kind of funny. I was about 50-50 last year, but for me in our office personally, we're almost 4-to-1 purchases versus liquidations. So we've actually had quite a few more purchases this year than liquidations, which is a little abnormal, but not drastically skewed one way or the other.
Well, let's talk about the move in silver.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Let's talk about the move in silver. And let's definitely talk about the relative move compared to gold, because gold has been leading the charge for a decade plus now. And this is one of those years, Rob, where silver decides to do a little bit of catching up.
Well, not the ratio has fallen from over 100. Where did we peak out in the ratio? 110 to 1?
105 to 110 here, maybe 107. Now I think we're sitting at around 72,
I believe.
So pretty significant move down in the ratio, which means we've had silver outperforming gold for the first time in a very long time.
Very long time.
So that means the bull market's over, right?
Oh, I don't think it is by a long shot. I had a client asking me where the top was for silver. And, you know, I'm thinking high 60s, maybe 68 is the near top where we're going to hit some more resistance. I know that some of the Wall Street analysts are expecting silver in the 60s by next year. I think the move in silver caught everybody by surprise this year. So we may go beyond 68, but I think we'll hit 68 and start backing up a little bit. What do the charts say?
The big question here over the last month has been, hey, so are we getting a silver pullback? We just saw silver go from 30 to 54 over the course of a handful of months, going back to like June, July. Silver down 30, 32 bucks. And by October, it was 54. And what's kind of crazy about that is you can almost argue we did have a little bit of a pullback. You know, we saw silver go from 54 all the way down to 45. So we had an almost $10, 20% drop in the price of silver. Not a significant pullback compared to some of the Fibonacci levels you'd like to see, but it was a 20% nominal pullback, which is relatively significant. Then we go back up for a second retest up at the top. So we had a nice little double top there, made a nice little cup and handle, and then all of a sudden just boom, you know, starting right around Thanksgiving, $50, 51, 54, oops, and then it broke right through on Friday following Thanksgiving. And now we're sitting up around 58, almost 59 here this past couple of days. So sure, it could absolutely keep running. You know, Rob, you've been through a couple more bull markets than I have. And one of my conversations I've had with clients here over the last couple months is you really can't stop the train once the train starts moving. You know, there are periods of time when you're not trading back and forth, but when you're in a clear, defined path, it gets real hard to stop that train when it gets rolling. We've seen that happen at least a couple times in my career here, and I'm sure you've seen a few more.
Well, I tell you what I haven't seen is I've never seen the old coin market drop below the bullion market like we have. You can buy silver dollars for less per ounce than 100-ounce bars. You can buy $5 gold pieces from 100 years ago for $100 to $150 less per ounce than quarter-ounce gold eagles right now. I've never seen this trend before. Inventories are high. If people are looking to purchase, I would consider looking at the old $5 and $10 gold pieces. You know, these are coins that go back to the 1870s to the 1930s. They're old, they're rare, they don't make them anymore. And the prices now give you a little bit of a cushion in case we have a pullback in the gold and silver price, where you can buy silver dollars or $5 and $10 gold pieces and see a little bit of protection in case the market were to drop. Let's say the stock market falls out of bed, gold tends to follow, silver follows. And then you have a little bit of price support in the old coin market that you don't get with the bullion market.
Why do you think that's happening? I mean, when I look at the pricing of the bullion coinage right now, it doesn't look overpriced to me.
No, I mean, their premiums are low as well. We were talking about the old dimes and quarters, what they call junk silver, 90% dime and silver quarters. You know, you can buy them, I mean, my goodness, 1% above melt, 1% above spot, 1.5% above spot. You'd have to go back to when I started 40 years ago to see premiums like that.
Yeah, I've never seen premiums like that in my 20 years. I have seen the other side. You know, I have seen junk silver at 30% above melt.
Yeah.
But I've never seen it at melt price before. To purchase, not to sell.
Yeah.
You know, it's different when you're selling your silver back to a retailer. I mean, they're not going to pay you a premium generally. Unless there's a premium in the market, they're going to take a little bit of a liquidation commission, so on and so forth. You go to a coin shop or a pawn shop or a bigger retailer like we are, you're going to get fair market value minus something. And oftentimes it's going to be getting paid melt or maybe even a percent or two below. I've never seen it in my career where you can buy them at melt.
Well, and that reminds me of something too. People don't realize that we buy as well as sell. And we buy product that was bought elsewhere. We trade. We carry our own inventory. We buy and sell. So if people are sitting on product, they don't know what they have, they should give us a call. Send us a picture on our cell phone. I can tell you what it is and how much we would pay for it. And it's generally going to be better than they would get from the guy down the street.
So what kind of market dynamics would cause something like a modern gold American Eagle to be priced higher than a 100-year-old mint state graded MS64 Liberty? Or what would cause, I mean, for Pete's sake, what would cause something like a 100-ounce silver bar to be more expensive than a 70-year-old bag of junk silver coins?
Yeah, I mean, that's happening. And you can even buy 100-year-old Morgan silver dollars from 1921 for less per ounce than a 100-ounce bar right now. I mean, there's no way with the liquidations that have occurred in the U.S. market, there's no way for dealers to hedge against the premium. So they pay whatever the silver content is minus whatever fee they charge. And there's more inventory right now than is being sold. I mean, we have bags of silver dollars. We have bags of dimes and quarters. And the premiums are so low, and we'll continue to buy and beef up our inventory because we know those premiums are going to change.
Something that I find interesting with that is at the same time when, let's call it the types of products the average retail investor would buy, because the average retail investor isn't going to go out and buy kilo gold bars for right. $130,000 a piece or 1,000-ounce silver bars at $50,000 apiece. You know, we all have plenty of clients that do that, but the average guy isn't going to do that.
No, the average guy thinks, well, I don't want to buy anything rare or old. I just want to buy a bar. Mm-hmm. Okay. But you want to compare the price of this 100-ounce silver bar with a 100-year-old Morgan, you might want to consider the Morgan because right. they're cheaper per
well,
ounce.
And there's no downside potential at this point.
Right. It's first, don't get hurt. I mean, how much is it going to cost me? How do I get hurt? What happens when I go to sell it? The market right now is a buyer's market, Miles. Even with prices where they are, as far as gold over 4,000 and silver approaching 60, you can buy product at a ridiculous premium right now.
On the retail side.
On the retail side, yeah.
Now, if you're a banker in Europe trying to get 1,000-ounce gold bars, it's going to be 2 months for right. delivery.
Right.
1,000-ounce silver bars, not
1,000-ounce gold bars. Or kilo gold bars or 400-ounce gold yeah. bars. Yeah. There's premiums out there on that product. And that's what they have to have. And so a lot of product is getting melted down to meet that demand. We'll see how this all plays out over the next 2 years. It's going to be fascinating, Miles. I hope I can be here for 50 years just to see what happens over the next 10 years. This is going to be remarkable because we're just getting started. This market has caught a lot of people by surprise, but let me tell you, it's going much higher.
Well, it seems to me like there's kind of a buying pattern whenever you get into a bull market in any asset. I mean, it doesn't have to be gold and silver. It could be stocks or real estate or anything else. Is you have typically big money that has enough money to be patient tends to move into the market first and swallow up as much as they can at the lowest premiums possible. You've certainly seen it in the real estate market and the equities market. Now we're seeing it in the gold market, and we've seen right. it in the gold market in the past.
And why is that, Miles? I can tell you why that is, because there's so much money out there.
Right.
Looking for a home, looking for value.
And with what's been going on and kind of a reverse and changing of course in the U.S. dollar expectations here, coming off of interest rate declines, even though for all intents and purposes, there was no reason to lower rates other than to stimulate an economy that was already hurting, but not crippled by any means. And where's most of that money going? I think it's going right back into investments. You know, that's the problem with the stimulation thing is it doesn't trickle down very fast. It goes from the Federal Reserve Bank down to the top tier of banks, and they just immediately pump it into real estate or equities or swap trades, all sorts of stuff. And I think that's why the average person is still struggling, but the stock market keeps going up. The price of gold is continuing to go up.
Well, and like you said a minute ago, the big money moved into gold and now silver 3 years ago. The big yeah. central banks started buying, really increasing their percentage allocation. What do they know that we don't?
Well, they knew that silver was going to go up to $60 an ounce. Or they knew they were going to be a part of helping it push that.
Well, yeah. And these are strong hands. These are not people that are going to turn around and dump it.
Yeah, and we're not seeing the general public involvement yet. And I think that's kind of the point we're both trying to get at here is you're looking at coin premiums. Because like I was saying a second ago, people don't buy 1,000-ounce bars. People buy junk silver. They buy silver dollars. They buy silver American Eagles. They buy 1-ounce gold bars. If you're bringing 50 grand to the table, you're buying a lot different stuff than a bank that's bringing 50 million. So seeing the premiums compressing on the smaller product to the point where refineries are buying smaller product to melt down and turn into larger product, that just doesn't generally happen. So this is still top down.
There's even an online dealer that is offering to pay people 4% a year just to give them their gold and let them pay them 4% a year interest on their gold. Now you give up title to your gold for however long that lease transpires, but that's never been available to the smaller retail customer in the past. I mean, if you had kilos, 4 or 5 or 6 kilo bars of gold, then yes, you qualified if you wanted to let somebody borrow that for a year. But they're offering this to people just with a few ounces. This is weird.
Yeah, it feels like a wealth transfer.
Yes, it does. Yeah, I would definitely not take advantage of that.
No, not me personally. Who has title to the gold when the company goes out of business? That'd be my question. So the opportunities, the handful of people that have been lucky enough and smart enough to get into the metals market 3, 4, 5 years ago and have watched their gold double plus in price, have watched their silver now almost triple in price, are asking me, you know, is this 2011 again? Where's the top? And I'm looking at this market going, okay, across the board, what have we not had yet? We haven't had a major systemic crisis in another asset class yet that causes the general public to panic. So we haven't had the emotional push into gold yet.
No, no, not even.
Therefore, we haven't had the retail client investor involvement in the precious metals market yet.
Correct.
When we look back on 2025 Golden Rule Radio, the only song and dance we've preached all year, going all the way back to January, February this year, was this is top down. The average person is not involved. This is big money. This is government. This is massive financial institution loading up on precious metals. This is not after, you know, the 2008 stock market crash and we saw gold double and silver triple. And I said this a couple weeks ago where we laid out the charts. I'll throw them up on the screen again. This is like 2002 to 2006. Mm-hmm. This is the building phase before you get the mania phase, because mania is typically kicked off by something emotional. And we haven't had the emotional stimulus yet.
We have not had that trigger. You are right.
So I'm still buying gold every 2 weeks in my vaulted account. I'm going to keep doing it until the government stops spending more than they make and they stop making up the difference using inflation.
Well, and I keep buying silver dollars and $5 gold pieces, 100-year-old product. I just added some more the other day and I'm going to keep buying it. And I keep adding to my vaulted account as well.
There's no downside.
No.
There's no downside in a product that potentially has, certainly in the past, had significant premium above its melt value. And today you can basically buy it at melt.
And I don't expect it to ever get back to the premiums that both of us have seen in the past, but I'm expecting, you know, a 20 to 30% increase over and above the gold and silver price from where it is now to where it will be. So when we get to $70 silver, the premiums are going to start increasing because people are going to run into the party saying, hey, I don't want to miss out. And right now, I don't think they are. I think we have time to do this logically without getting involved emotionally. Just look at the numbers.
Turn 10 ounces of gold in Indians or St. Gaudens or Liberties into 13 or 14 ounces of bullion at some point down the road. I'm okay with that.
Sure.
I'll always take a couple free ounces of gold. That's my favorite price for gold.
Yeah.
No, anytime somebody wants to just give me gold for free, I will take it. Anybody listening out there, if you got some gold that you don't want and you don't want anything for it, you are welcome to hand it to me.
Well, we see that in the IRA market right now. You can buy proof gold Eagles for the same price as regular gold Eagles. Mm-hmm. Why the heck not buy the proofs? I was looking at the four-piece proof sets, which, you know, have 1 ounce, a half ounce, a quarter ounce, and a 1/10 ounce, and we're retailing those for $1,000 less than the mint sells them for brand new. And we know what'll happen. Those premiums will start kicking in, and then we'll trade out of the proofs. We'll take 10 ounces of proofs and turn it into 13 ounces of gold Eagles all day long.
We're just coming off the back end of a junk silver swap. Mm-hmm. You know, clients Coming out of junk silver, 1,000 ounce bars and going
into junk silver. Heck yeah.
Because they came out of junk silver or silver American Eagles about 2-3 years ago when we were looking at 20-30% premiums. I mean, you can get on the right side of this type of market movement if you just pay attention to how the premiums move.
Well, and so much matters who you deal with too.
Yeah.
I mean, as we are liquidating proof gold Eagles at 30 to 50% premiums, moving into regular gold Eagles, other dealers are out there promoting proofs thinking that they've cracked the code, and we're happy to let the market own our proofs and put our clients back into bullion.
Into more bullion.
Into more bullion, yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I'll always take free gold. It's my favorite thing to get for free and my favorite price to pay for it.
It happens. I remember I had a client who was a friend. Lived down the street from me. He got a call from one of my assistants saying, hey, if you trade in your proofs, you can take 10 ounces of proofs and we'll give you 13 ounces of Eagles. And he called me up. He hung up on my assistant and yelled at him. And I called him back. I'm like, why'd you hang up on him? He goes, it just sounds too weird. I'm like, we are giving you free ounces of gold to transfer out of the proofs. And he goes, is this a good idea? And I'm like, yes, it's a very good idea. You are gaining ounces. And he said, okay. So it's not emotion, it's just facts. It's just the numbers. Look at the numbers, where the value is, take advantage of the premiums that you can right now, because it will change. And at that point, we will let you know, hey, it's time to go the other way.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the dollar too, but maybe we'll get into that next week, because we do have one more rate cut, I'm hoping, coming up. I mean, I'm not hoping as a guy who buys groceries, but I am hoping as a guy who owns gold that they lower interest rates again this year. Just keep them going. Take them negative. Why not?
Yeah, let's go.
And it sounds like Jay Powell might be going home. So I think we got a lot to talk about as the year winds up, because 2026 is going to be a heck of a one. So I do think that's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio. As always, we appreciate you stopping by. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to head on over to our website. You can always catch the YouTube version of the show, including any charts we put up. That is at McIlvaney.com/radio. You can also find us on Twitter at ICA Gold and Facebook at McIlvaney Financial. But better yet, if you'd like to talk to Rob, myself, Tori, or any of the advisors here at McIlvaney Precious Metals about your personal portfolio, maybe take a look at some of the opportunities in rare coin, silver coin that are out there right now, you can always give us a call at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks again for listening, and have a great week.